Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
You know, like we said, this is totally His service. This is His time to be with us. And we don't have an agenda, and we're just going to be led. But I do want to just say a couple things that might help you or bless you. And the first one is, I just want to encourage you, after this session and after dinner at 6 p.m., we're going to open up the room for prophetic warfare worship. And what that means is it's not your sit down and, there's something about the act of engaging your body in the spirit, and it tears down strongholds. And there's something about it in the natural. When you show up, and the funny thing is that you're in the natural, your body is doing it, but it's a spiritual it's a spiritual worship, it's a spiritual form or activation. And for some of you, you might think, what is this? That scares me. I don't want to do that. I'm too shy. I just want to tell you a little bit. I used to be very shy, very shy. I used to have to drink to do a speech in high school. I would avoid eye contact all the time. And, God set me free. And I remember the day, because there's always a tug in the heart. And I know there's some people in here who have that tug. There's a tug in your heart where, Lord, I want to be free. I hear what you're saying through Holly, and I'm desperate for change. I'm desperate, Lord. You got to help me. I can't help myself. I don't know how. Point the way, Jesus. Here I am. I yield. And that was my heart's cry when I was bound. I used to go to a church that was seeker sensitive, and I liked that because it wasn't weird, and I was shy, so I knew go late and leave early because I knew their system, and so I wouldn't have to shake hands with the person next to you. I hated that stuff. Give your friend a hug. No, thank you. I just didn't like it, and so I learned how to go to church without connecting with people. And there's a lot of people who live a lonely life because they don't understand the love of the Father. And He is doing something in all of us, and He's helping us get set free through many ways, because we're not created the same. Although we're in His image, we have unique personalities, but yet we form His body as one. And it's spectacular. And so I'd go to these church services. I'd get in just in time for the worship, the three sets, no more songs than three, because that's how they did it. And, everything was timed to at 12:02, whatever, and all that stuff. And I'm not against any of that. But I learned to live my life about their system under the radar without being noticed by anybody. And because I was just fearful. And you would not know that about me if you looked at me in the natural, because I had this smile, this fake smile. How you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. Thank you. How are you? That language that you pick up in women's Bible studies probably or whatever. And, so you know what to say so that nobody says, no, really, tell me how you are. What's going on in your heart today? What's God doing? How's your soul? If somebody would have said that to me, I would have ran out the door. And there's some of that happening in here. And some of you are still hidden. And that's okay. We're not going to pull you out, because that's not how God operates. It has to be a decision of the heart. With everything that God is doing in here, there has to be a decision of our heart. Yes, Lord, I want that. Yes, Lord, free me. Show me how. And we don't know how or we'd be free, right? We tried all the ways that we know. And so this is like a divine setup by your Father, your Heavenly Father, who is rescuing you from bondage and darkness because you cried out for help. And so you don't have to measure, did I cry out long enough, hard enough? That's of the flesh. He hears the heart's cry, and that's what He's ministering to right now. And so for me, we do the worship, those three songs, and I liked them because they were good songs, but I didn't know how to connect in the spirit with them. I didn't, you know, my head was like, oh, that's a good tune, that's a good song you sing. But there was something, because I was born again, there was something in me that was desiring the more. And all the years of limitations and caps and all the junk was on top of me, and there was this explosion wanting to happen in the spirit, but because of the caps of limitation that I had placed on myself or others have placed on me, I was a broken, bound little girl who was afraid of just about everything, but as tough as nails. If you came up to me, I'd know how to swing you and knock you down. You see what I'm saying? There's two ways that this is working, and I know that some of you are tough little girls that you know, would knock me down today. And so, you know, God's not mad. He's just, you know, he's wooing you right now, and he's talking your language to some of you. And so, with that being said, I'd be in the worship service because I like that feel good message. You know, it was kind of like a Dear Abby, but not so Abby-ish. It was more like, you know, kind of like Proverbs, how to live, but there was no spirit to it. It was just taught. And I'm not against that, but my heart was crying for the more, because I had chased the counterfeit life. I lived a really good life in the natural. I had made it to the top and realized everything I had was counterfeit because it was built without him. And then when I met him in actually Holly and Edgar's services. Our church was going through a split. And I met him. I met Jesus. And he rocked my world upside down and inside out because he's real. I didn't know he was real. I had no knowledge of that. And he, when he showed himself to me, I was undone. All those hard layers just peeled away. The big ones, not all the little ones yet, but the big ones, you know. And I was like, oh my God, you're real. You're really real. You are real. I thought I would know him once I crossed over to eternity. I didn't know we could have relationship with him now. And so because our church was going through a split, I was hungry for the more. I went for the more. And what happened was, before, when I was at that church service, that hunger, you know, I liked the structure and the routine, but my spirit man was crying out for the more. I was so thirsty for the living water. I was so thirsty. And see, we're designed that way. We're all designed to drink from his well. We're all designed to be living in the fresh waters that flow in heaven, nurture us and strengthen us. And so what happened was, when I met him and knew he was real, everything I thought I knew was wrong, because I did it by my works, myself and my structures. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I didn't know any better. I want to know you. Teach me who you are. I want to commune with me. Show me what that looks like. And those were the cries of my heart. And I remember saying, I don't know how to love you. I don't even know what love is. I've never been able to love anybody, but teach me how to love you. And he slowly, I allowed him to love on me. He was always ready, but it was like the walls of trust I had to break through and let him come in. And so for me, it was a slow, gradual thing. You know, I met him instantly, but then the rest was, he would teach me. He would say, when's the last time you cried? I'd be, cry? Let's see, I remember crying when my babies were born. They were premature. And that was like years had gone. You know, I didn't cry. I didn't use the emotions. And so he slowly worked with me on how to become and who I am. And I'm saying that because I was so shy and backwards and so bound, but my heart was, Lord, I'm a mess. You got to heal me. You got to show me your truth. I don't know how. And see, I knew the voice of Holy Spirit because I was, okay, born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit at separate transactions. And so I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. He would lead and guide me into all truth. And so, you know, I spent years on that scripture, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I would fall and fail and, you know, skin my nose because I'd take it back, because there's this battle of the flesh and spirit, and it has to do with trust. And I know some of you in here are struggling with trust. And here's the thing. You're so close to victory. I want to encourage you to press on without measuring how far you are, but allow the Lord to trust, for you to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that's key, because with performers, we tend to measure, am I trusting enough? You know, am I not leaning on my own understanding enough? You know, and it's like, you know, so seek first the kingdom of God. And what that means is, here I am, and just, what are we doing? Lord, help me. You know, and just letting him make room, allowing yourself to let him make room in your heart. And sometimes it's instant, and sometimes it's a work in progress. Mine was a work in progress. But I want to tell you, for me, my heart, I was so bound. Remember, so I'm going to meetings, and even at the Spirit-filled meetings, I'd still come in late, and I would stay late, though, because the presence was so wonderful. I didn't know how to house his presence, and some of you have experienced that for the very first time. You're new to his wonderful peace and presence that is like dripping in here, or like an umbrella covering you, and you can feel that, and you're like, wow, that is God. Yes, it is God. And that, I love his presence. And I didn't know that I am a house of his glory at that time, because I was pretty dirty and messed up and didn't know, and living one foot in the world and one foot out, and, you know, here I am again, this whole wreckage. So I would go to the services because I loved his presence, and I'd get healed in his presence. You know, oftentimes I didn't even know what he was doing. It just would be. Because in the presence, you change into his image. If you keep coming long enough, you will tip into the glory. It's just the way his kingdom operates, unless you willfully choose not to. And so for me, I was at a conference one night, and, you know, crying out, and you ever have a God set up? You know, sometimes we're crying out for breakthrough, but we don't know, or we won't allow him to really break through, because we have these walls that, you know, we've built and shored up so long and so tough that we know there's like a danger bell that goes off when somebody starts to approach the wall, and then we'll learn to position ourselves in a different way so that the entry point never happens. And some of you know what I'm talking about. And so if we are programmed that way and lived our life that way, how are we going to get breakthrough? Well, only the Lord can, you know, really. You know, so what happened for me is, I'm here, I am, I'm desperate, I'm a mess, you know, help me, Lord. And one day I was at a conference, and I saw an old friend from a big, large conference. I saw an old friend that I recognized as somebody I used to serve in, I don't know if it was kids ministry, I don't remember anymore. And I saw her way up in the front on the side of the building, and she's smiling with this great big grin. And I'm with my good old friend Mary, and I say, and this girl, her name was Juanita, she looks at me, she makes eye contact. And now, shy people don't make eye contact, right? So that's the first thing. But because I knew her, and she was far enough away, a smile was good, you know? And so I smile like, hi, Juanita, nice to see you. And I thought to myself, I can't believe she's at this Spirit-filled conference, but how cool is that? And so I said to my friend, look, there's Juanita, there's Juanita. And my friend Mary's looking at me and looking at her like, oh, okay, you know, she's like, what, you know? And so Juanita starts to walk up to me. Now, we're way in the back, in the middle, you know, towards on an aisle seat. Always have to have an aisle seat if you're a person of control, or in case you got to exit, okay? So back row, favorite place. Back row on the end. I'm not looking. No, I'm kidding. So here's what happened. Juanita starts coming up, and she's got to make her way around hundreds of people. And she gets to about where Kim is at, and I realize it's not Juanita. So for a shy person, it's like deer in headlights. You freeze, you want to run, but you can't, because she's already right there blocking the aisle entrance and exit. And she is smiling this God smile. It's a God smile. And she grabs my hand and pulls me up out of the chair and dances me down the aisle, center aisle, up to the stage area. And when that happened, the change, the bondage, I'm telling you, they broke off me as I danced. She danced me up. Now, shy people don't dance, okay? And they never allow themselves to be seen by other people. And so I'm getting marched up this aisle thinking, oh, Lord, what is happening? And at the same time going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The duel, you know, the natural mind, oh, God, no, 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 Lord, help me get out of here. I got to run. But my spirit man is, yes, yes, yes. And I danced up that aisle, and I never stopped. I never stopped. And what happened was I got set free. Now, that's the kind of setups that God is capable of. And I love how he does that. There's no other way that would have happened. But I kept crying out, Lord, I'm a wreck. You got to help me. Lord, I'm miserable. You got to help me. But no. You know, that duel, I do the things I don't want to do, the things I want, you know, wretched man that I am, you know. And so there was this going on in my life, and I guess he just, you know, was like, we're going to have to get her, girls, because she's not, you know, she's crying out, but she's blocking big time. And so I love his divine setups, and he won't, you know, he'll do what works for you. And so I'm just telling you to be open to whatever he's doing here at the retreat, at this conference. And I want to tell you, be aware, because there's this thing called a familiar spirit, and I got it. I know it. I've heard this before. I heard her say that 2 years ago. I heard her say that 7 years ago. Be careful, because listen, it's an alive word today being released from the throne of God. And don't allow the enemy to cause you to go into trickery. And, you know, I've sat in services for 17 years under Edgar and Holly, and I've heard this story 17,000 times. If you're thinking like that, just go, because you're not going to get anything. Or bind the spirit and receive victory. You know what I'm saying? And some people struggle with that in here. You think, because you're thinking it through your natural mind, and that's where the hang-up is. You're listening, you're filtering, oh, I heard that story, I can tell you the end of it. But if you connect in the spirit and just rest in his presence and let the words be like water and just wash over you, instead of judging the word, allow the word to minister to you and bring some correction and direction and life, because every word released from heaven is a word of life. So guard your mind against the wandering, and guard your mind about knowing more, or that's just not how it's done in our church or the way we do it. Allow yourself to have the caps of limitations removed off of you. Because I'm telling you, we are seeing wonderful things, and we're all part of it. It's all this is a setup. We're all here because he chose us to be here, and we said yes. And so I just want to say tonight, we're opening up the room at 6 o'clock. And when I first announced that, some of you are like, I ain't coming. No way. I'm too shy. Do you want your breakthrough?
Yes.
What if it's that? What if it's this time at 6 p.m.? I don't know. But here's what I see happening. I see two things happening. I see people entering in the flesh and worshiping. Yay. They flip in to the spirit and receive and commune with the power of the prophetic worship. I see people entering already in the prophetic worship and receiving and releasing and declaring and decreeing. And I see some who think they're going to do it and they stay in the flesh. Now, there's no condemnation, but be aware. How do you know the difference? Who's got the answer?
You.
We do this on Wednesday all the time. I'll stop. I'll go, who's got the answer? You do. You do. You'll know if you're in your head, and you'll feel the connection in the spirit, when, because it's no longer performance. It's worship. You're worshiping him because he's worthy to be worshiped. There's something that happens where we all start, oh, me, me, me. It's all about me, 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 me. But there's this time in the spirit where you go, oh, Jesus, you alone are worthy to be praised. Thank you. We bless you. And you start to worship him in such a way where just the chains fall off. They can't stay because you're no longer tending to them. You're tending to him. Does that help you a little bit? Okay. Amen. So, you have anything back there? Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to just release us into that. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to do some prophetic soaking. And so remember, this is an opportunity to rest in his presence and let the Lord minister through I'm going to say channel. It's God's way. It's not the counterfeit. God's channel of music and worship and prophetic. And here's the thing. Some of you are sitting here and you're like, oh, I love this. This is good. I could just lay down and rest in his presence, but I don't want to. What's stopping you from that? You know, let yourself, sometimes when I struggle with worship, if my mind is wandering or I got something I'm thinking about, or maybe the enemy's trying to get me to think about something, I'll change my position. And oftentimes I'll get down on my knees and I'll put my head lower than my heart and I just start worshiping him. It takes the focus off of myself. And so I'm encouraging you, you might want to lay out and just let the Lord minister to you.
I'm just going to share this from the back. But one of the things I've learned is that because there's two parts of us, right? Your soul and your spirit, and they're two different things, and your mind is part of your soul. And when God is ministering to you, he's ministering to your spirit. And so if you're in your head, it's really hard to hear God or commune with him or even love him properly. And I can't describe it, but when God was training me to hear his voice, he was training me how to flip the switch and enter a state of rest where it's not me trying to figure it out or understand it. And what I found is your mind can actually get in the way. Now, he gave us a mind to study, and it's a good thing, but there's times when to fellowship with him, we just gently switch off the mind and allow ourselves to enter a state of rest, and that's where God starts talking. That's where the river starts flowing. It always is, but you can't hear it when you're in your head. And so the reason I felt like the Lord picked this music that we're going to play, we call it soaking, because if you've never allowed yourself to, just allow yourself to close your eyes. You can lay down if you want. We probably will be. But a lot of times deep change happens when you just let God minister to you. So, hallelujah. You can just stay where you are. We're just going to stay in, okay? It is on the Lord's heart to connect with you heart to heart. And I saw a person, and this was just like a parable, okay? But I saw a person, and they were drinking from this, it was sort of weird-looking bottle, like a thermos. But they had grown, it was kind of stale and rusty, this water. But they had grown so accustomed to drinking that water that they didn't like the living water. They actually liked this rusty, stale water. It's what they were used to. And I said, Lord, what's that about? And he said, well, sometimes people have grown so used to doing a form of religion because they think I expect it. And then they get through their life by going to church and doing the stuff and doing, okay, I'll read this much today and I'll pray this much and I'll pray for so-and-so. And that's all good. All that stuff is good. But there's something I want you to have, he says, that's much higher and much bigger and much more important. And that's a relationship with me where you know me intimately as your father, your best friend, your confidant. And I was talking to a friend of mine over the break, and I was saying, we were talking about the idea that some people have never really known God as a best friend because they don't know how to have a relationship. Maybe you never had a confidant that you could really just pour out your heart to. And what I mean is when you're at your worst, you know, when you're having a moment where you're just not at your very best, you know, when you have a friend that you can trust to just pour your heart out and you know they're not going to judge you or condemn you or maybe even give you advice if you don't need, sometimes you just need to pour it out. And God said a lot of people don't know how to do that because they've never had a trusted friend in their life. That's why so many people pay so much money to go to therapy, because then it seems legal, because then they can pour it out, because they're actually paying someone to listen to them pour out their heart, because they don't know me in that way, he is saying. And he said, and that breaks my heart, because I will not judge you for how you feel or how you feel about what you've been through. I understand emotions. I was here. I get it. I was abused. I was beaten. I was tortured. I was disrespected. I was treated like dirt. And I am the king. But I subjected myself to it because I wanted to be in all ways like as you are, as the scriptures say, yet without sin. So when you come to me, you're talking to somebody who understands. I don't condemn you for having feelings. I had them. I don't judge you for having emotions. I had them. But I want to bring you to a place where you can connect with me in the spirit, and that becomes a new lifestyle for you. Instead of just drinking the old water over and over, some of you have actually tasted a little of the living water and said, I don't really like that. That's, you know, that doesn't fit the box in my thinking. You know, my church, you know, we don't do that. That's not okay. Well, you'll have trouble when you get to heaven, because heaven is full of living water. The moving of the waters is normal in heaven. And when you come to a service where that's being allowed, you're encountering a little taste of heaven. So don't say you don't like it. Learn to acquire the taste of heaven. Because if you come to understand the way things work in heaven, you will see victory in every area on earth. Because things happen in heaven before they happen in the earth. I ordain things here, and then they happen in the earth. So the closer that you walk to me, the closer we become as friends. The more you understand me, the easier it is to have things go well with you on earth. Because you don't just try to fix it. You come in with me. We work together on it. You say, oh, I see what we're trying to do here. And you go back and you walk with me as I play it out. That's the real water. The real water is living a life in the realm of the spirit with God while being in your mortal body. And whether you know it or not, that's how I did it when I was in the earth. I lived in a mortal body. I had to do normal things. I had to drink and eat and feed people and talk to people. I had to have tough conversations. I had to confront. I had to do all that stuff. But what people couldn't see was that in the spirit, I was dealing constantly with my Father by the Holy Spirit. I was constantly walking in the realm of his presence, so I knew what to say next. Or I knew ahead, oh, you're going to meet a blind man today. I would go up into the mountains to pray. And sometimes I would see ahead, oh, today I will encounter a man who's been paralyzed for many years. And here's what I'm to do. Sometimes I knew ahead. Sometimes I knew at the moment. But I didn't know it in my earthly mind. I knew it because I had an open connection with my Father, and that connection is called the Holy Spirit. And how I have desired for my children to do what I did and to learn what I knew and to be able to walk in the ways that I walked, because that would mean such victory for them, such wholeness, such completeness. How it would do my heart joy to see my children walk in heavenly places while in their earthly body. It doesn't mean you have to act strange. No one even has to know it. You can go about your job at work and no one even has to know that you're in the spirit. But you're getting answers from me. You're getting wisdom from the Holy Spirit to know what to say and what the solution to difficult problems is. The Father desires to bring you into such a place of oneness with Him where it just becomes normal to throw yourself down on the couch and say, "Hey, Father, what are we doing today? Or what do you think about this? You know, this person said that and it's really annoying. What do you think about that?" And then He says, "Well, consider that that person may be living in abuse and they just don't know how to behave. So why don't you have some extra compassion?" Or whatever He might say. He wants to lead and guide you into a place. He desires this for all of His kids. And if you've been sitting here thinking, "Well, this is great for other people, but I don't think it's me," it is most assuredly you. It is for God would have every person on the earth to do this if they would. He would have every person on the earth to become born again. And then He would have every person that's born again be filled with the Spirit. And then He would have those that are filled with the Spirit learn how to walk by the Spirit, how to live in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being, because then they would see such victory. Things that are hard would become so easy. Instead of us trying to make it happen or get it to happen or you know, even some of the praying and fasting that we do. Now, I pray and fast. I want you to understand, I pray a lot. I fast. I do warfare. I do all that stuff. But I've learned not to just go do that to try to get stuff to happen. I've learned to check in and say, "What are we doing here? What's going on with this?" And if He says, "I want you to spend a lot of time praying in the Spirit," okay, we'll do that. If He says, "Well, that's an attack, you need to do warfare," okay, we'll do that. If He says, "Oh, that's not even a problem, here's what's really going on," oh, okay, that's not even a problem, I'm looking at it wrong. I'm telling you, it's much easier. And for too long, we've been drinking this water out of this thermos. You know, and I love, church is a good thing. I love the local church, and I have some pastor friends that are my closest friends, and I just love them, and I love what they're doing. But I remember the day when I was so involved in church and all we did in church that I was actually preaching church to people. And instead of telling people about Jesus, I was telling people about my church. And God corrected me and said, "Excuse me, I love your church too, but hello." You see, we can get caught up in a format. It's easier for us to do because if we don't know how to do it, we say, "Well, this is easy. I'll have a formula. I'll do this and I'll do that and then I'll be okay and everything's good. And I'll follow this pattern. I'll do it every day. And oops, I failed. I feel bad. Oh, I did it right. I feel good." That's all a farce. And God's not saying all those things are good and you'll do all those things. But what He wants is you. He wants your heart. And I'm seeing Him, I'm seeing like a picture of Him in the Spirit beckoning us to have the courage to say, "You know what, maybe my way hasn't been the best way. And maybe this format I followed was just a format to keep me alive until I get to know Him well enough." But really what He wants, you're His beloved child. You know, this is going to sound strange to some people, but Paul made a big point out of talking about us as a bride and Jesus as the bridegroom. Because there's no other relationship on earth like a bride and a bridegroom. And it's so wonderfully intimate and private. And when it's, and it is holy, it's very, very holy. It's sanctified. And it's so lovely. But when we come in to be with Jesus, it's a picture of that He puts something inside of us. And that's how we bear fruit. We cannot bear fruit. You know, there was only one divine conception. There was only one immaculate conception. That was Mary and Jesus. But for us to bear fruit, for us to be of any value in the kingdom, for us to produce anything, there has to be a connection, an intimate connection with Jesus as His beloved, where we receive something from Him. It may be a word, because every word is a seed, right? Think about it. It's a seed. How do people have kids? It's a seed. How do trees bear fruit? It's a seed. How does grass reproduce? It's a seed. The whole creation cries glory. The whole creation says, this is the method. This is it. There is no other. The whole creation talks about how for us to reproduce in him, we need to receive the seed of God. We need to receive not one, but a million. You know, big things and little things. We need to hear our Father's heartbeat. And we need to come to a place many, many years ago. I think this was in the 80s. I was in a bit of a battle, and I was seeking the Lord. And I was actually at my job at that time. And I saw a picture of two hearts, a big heart and a smaller heart. And they were beating, but they weren't beating like the same. You know, like boom, 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 boom. They weren't the same. But I watched, and these two hearts grew closer and closer. And as they grew closer, they began to beat more together. The beat, boom, 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 boom. And then the final thing I saw was the big heart encompassed the little heart. You could still see the little one, but they had become one, and they beat as one. Boom, 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 boom. And I knew the Lord was giving me direction for life. He was saying, this is what I want. You know, you can do all the stuff for me, but what I want is for your heart to become one with my heart, to where we live together. We live together. We live together, right? See, when a woman dates a man, ideally in the kingdom, you don't move in until you're married. And when you're married, you move in together and you live together through the goods and the bads, the tough days and the great days. And if you have a decent relationship, you talk stuff through. You don't yell at each other. You talk it through. You work together. Here's a problem. How do we fix it? Well, I like this. Okay. Well, what about this idea? Nah, I don't like that idea so much. You don't scream at each other. You negotiate. You work it through. You try to come to a mutual understanding, right? You work together. Well, when we, so to speak, marry Jesus, we're supposed to leave behind all this other nonsense and move in to his house. But a lot of us have stayed in this house and said, come visit me, Lord. Come pour it out on me, Lord. Oh, come and give me gifts, Lord. Oh, come and let me move in all this stuff, Lord. And he's saying, that's great, but when are you coming over? You want to bear fruit, but don't we need to get together a little bit here? Can you come to my house? Can you fellowship with me without all your intellectual stuff? Because, by the way, I'm smarter than you. Hello. He's saying. Right? So check all your theology at the door when you go meet with God. You know, he wrote the book. Some people are so smart, they have so many opinions, and they know so much. And so they never hear from God, because you know what he's doing? He's saying, well, when you're ready to lay that on the altar, I'll talk to you. When you're ready to stop knowing it all, I'll talk to you. And I'll tell you what's really true. I'll give you all the truth of heaven. I'll give the truth of heaven to someone who's hungry and thirsty and comes with humility, saying, I don't know anything, Lord. You know everything. Give to me. Give me knowledge. Give me truth. Give me wisdom. Teach me. That person is like a sponge, and they can receive and receive and keep on receiving as long as they continue to be like a sponge and ask. But as soon as they say, I know and I've got it, they stop right there. They stop. Can't receive anymore because they've got it. And God will just let them lay there until they're in trouble. Some years will go by, and then it'll get so bad that they'll go to God and say, what am I doing wrong? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Mr. Fancy Pants, who knows it all. So glad you finally realize that you don't know it all. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm just saying how things are. God desires to disciple us. You know, there's no greater mentor than God. There's no greater mentor than the Holy Spirit. It's his job description. He came here. You know, people talk about the price that Jesus paid. He did pay a terrible, terrible price. And we'll be talking about it for eternity. But there's somebody else who has paid a very great price. It's the Holy Spirit, who came here to dwell with us and in us and help us and mentor us. And he has spent 2,000 years trying to woo a church that largely would have nothing to do with him. Didn't want his opinion. Knew their way. They were going to do it their way. Or occasionally would let him make one or two decisions, but no mentoring, thank you. Listen, we're talking about somebody whose brilliance, whose genius is so vast. He created the eyeball, the optic nerve, the atom. He was split in atoms before we knew there was any. All knowledge, all might, all power, all wisdom. He is living in your house. The one with every answer for every question you'll ever ask. Why do we not ask? Develop a lifestyle of asking and don't be satisfied till you get an answer that you understand. If he gives you a part of an answer, say, boy, that's awesome, but now what about this? Okay, that kind of makes sense to me, Lord, but what about this? He's your discipler. He's your mentor. We need to have a close walk with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the best friend you've got. He'll teach you how to worship. You know, when I don't know how to worship, I just say, Holy Spirit, worship through me. Worship through me. If I can't forgive, Lord, forgive through me. Just do it through me. If I don't know how to teach or preach, Lord, just do it through me. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how small. I couldn't cook. I couldn't cook to save my life. I'm telling you, I couldn't. I couldn't make decent coffee, and he had to teach me. You know, I have a funny oven. The numbers on it don't match the numbers on the box that you're making. You know, the thing you're making, I'll say, put it at 350 for 38, not in my oven. So I'll put the degrees on there, and when I go to push the button, he'll tell me how many minutes. And you know what? It comes out perfect. Every time it comes out perfect. And you might say, he doesn't want to talk about stuff like that. Yeah, he does. He cares about your every little thing. That might sound weird, but listen, I have a good life. I have a good, good life. I went from being the most abject failure you've ever seen, ever. Suicidal, wanted to die, couldn't stand my life. It was so wretched. And I have gone from that to being a person I wouldn't trade places with anyone on the face of the earth. And God did that. But he did that because we developed a relationship where he taught me how to do life in the earth. Just, it ain't easy if you don't know how. Earth is not for the faint of heart, is it? There's stuff that happens that, boy, really, seriously? I got to live through that? We've been through some tough stuff, but I never have to go through it alone, and you don't either. His arms stand open wide, and he actually wants to help you learn how to be best friends with him, how to worship him, how to spend time in heaven, how to let him be your everything. When God's your everything, nothing matters to you. If God spoke to me and said, this is the last time you're ever going to minister, I'd be like, okie doke. You know how much that would affect me? Zero. Because my value is not in ministering. If he said, you're never going to work again, okay, not my problem. How are you going to pay my bills, Daddy? When he told me when I went from the corporate world to working for God, he told me to, and I was thinking, oh, goody, how's that going to work? Thinking of the mortgage payment. So we had this conversation. I said, okay. I said, so you're my boss, and you're my source, so you tell me how this is going to work, but you're going to provide my needs. And he taught me some things to do. And you know what? I've never had a need. He has met every single need before it's time. Before. You hear me? God did that. He taught me. He taught me. I didn't run screaming to man. We don't beg and manipulate. We don't take off. We take offerings. That's one of the things he told us to do, but we never manipulate. And if people don't want to give, that's okay. We give our stuff away free. We've helped people that never give back. I mean, I've helped people and helped people and helped people and helped people and helped people until I think, good Lord, are you ever going to help us? I don't say that, but honestly, really. But you know what? They are not my source. So we don't do any of that. God did it all. When I have an issue, let's say Satan's trying to attack my body. Lord, what are we doing here? I know about walking in faith, but there's times God will give me a certain slant on it or a certain way to look at it or a certain specific scripture to stand on. And we win because I'm not alone. I'm not doing it alone. God wants this for you fervently. He wants to have you walking in heavenly places where you can say, He is my home. God wants you to get to the place. You know, some of you, I love you. But some of you still second guess everything you do and say. You're always saying, oh, did I do wrong? Was that bad? Was that okay? Should I not? You're always second guessing. You know, when you're in God and you get to know Him well enough, you look at it like this. Oh, that might not have been the best thing to say. Well, hallelujah, Lord, forgive me, and let's just keep going. What do you want me to do now? Move on, right? Even if you blow it, you're going to get better and better and better if you're living in Him. And if He's your acceptance, if He's your love, like you're accepted in the Beloved, means you have a house that is love and acceptance. That's your house that you live in. You know, I used to travel all over the place having fun and looking for adventure. I mean, when I was young, we used to do hang gliding, rock climbing, spelunking. I dove in caves underwater. I got my scuba thing. And we did the caves in northern Florida. Went down 100 feet. Crazy people. We used to do all that stuff looking for an adventure and a thrill. And it was thrilling for the moment. And you'd come home and you'd be like, What do you have? A good memory and a couple of pictures. And then I finally learned, it took me a long time to learn, that if I took a vacation with Him, I might never leave the zero gravity chair, but we would have the most wonderful times. And I learned something. It doesn't matter whether I travel or don't travel. He is my home. And no matter what goes on out in the world, you know, sometimes people are mean. That's okay. Sometimes people don't like ministers. That might not be a big revelation to you, but, you know, sometimes people are mean. You know what? That's not my problem. They were mean to Him. He said if they did it to the master, they'll do it to the students. Might as well expect it. Part of the deal. Hallelujah. How thrilling. Bible promise. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Oh, good. There's a promise I love. But when my wholeness is in Him, you know how much it matters? None. Because He's my wholeness. And this I know, my Father loves me. Not because I'm worth loving. Hallelujah. Not because I did anything right. But because I'm His kid. And that doesn't matter what happens to me in life or in, you know, when I'm interacting with people. There's times when I've preached a sermon and it's been a tough crowd, you know, tough crowd. And I would go home and just think, oh, I'm not doing this anymore, you know. Because that's no fun. You know what? I just run into Him. I just run back into Him. And it's like, you know what? None of that matters. He's my home. God, I'm describing this because some of you haven't gotten to encounter that in your life. And I'm trying to describe it in a way that will make you to know God wants this for all His children. When I first got saved, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. See, I didn't think anyone in churches knew God because I had been in a real icky religious church. And I remember as a little child thinking, I don't know God, but I know they don't know God. I mean, like 5 years old, I remember knowing that. So when I got saved, I thought, well, it's not about church. I ain't going to church. I didn't know any better. There's some really great churches out there. I didn't know that, though. So I figured out to get a little New Testament. I started reading it, and I didn't know any better than to ask God my questions. I didn't know any better. So I'd say, what does that mean? Or how does that work? And to my amazement, God would find a way to show it to me in the scriptures. He'd answer my questions usually within 24 hours. And I was amazed that the God of the universe wants to have a connected relationship, that He cares. It's like if you have a kid that's even a neighbor kid that you love and they come over and they say, how does that work? You know, if you have any compassion or love at all, you love showing them. Well, here, let me show you this, right? Well, that's how the Father is times a million. He loves to help His children He loves when you come and say, how does this work? Or what's going on with that situation? He loves to give the keys of heaven, because the keys of heaven unlock things in the earth. So if you need a key, even to, you know, your personal situation, sometimes you have situations in your house and you can't even talk about it, right? I had a situation in my life that was so bad I couldn't even tell anyone at church. I wanted to, but I knew if I did, I'd probably be killed. I mean, literally. For some years, it was not fun. So here I'm struggling with this situation and going to church and being in helps and nobody knows. I can't tell anybody, right? So I know that there are situations like that where you feel like if I tell this, I'll have problems. Or maybe they'll judge me, or they'll just do that thing Christians do of giving you 40 pounds of the wrong advice. It just adds to the pain. No, thank you very much. What I'm trying to say is the Lord wants to help you walk through that. He wants to give you heaven's key. There is a key for every situation. There is a heavenly key for every situation, every need, every deliverance. And for too many years, I looked at God and said, God, will you do this? And maybe if I pray harder, maybe if I call the prayer chain, maybe 50 of us, maybe then he'll have compassion and move. No. No. There was a key that I needed to get. And once I got the key, it was easy. Right? So I don't do any of that stuff anymore. Now I just go to God and say, what's happening here? What is this? What do I need to be doing? How should I be looking at it? And what is the key to resolving this? And your father, now you may say, well, I don't hear his voice. That's okay. Often he doesn't talk with his voice, especially when you're first learning. The first many years, he would make me to know things without speaking into my spirit. Now we're better friends. We got to know each other better, so now he can just kind of tell me. But then I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. But I had a Bible. And as I would read it, he would speak to me. Just almost miraculously, questions I had asked. Or I would ask a question. I remember one day at work, there was a rank sinner. This guy was really, you know, a very open sinner. And I had been asking God a question about something specific, and this guy turned, rank sinner, who loved being a sinner and loved talking about it, turned to me and said, they'll all be on their knees in sackcloth and ashes before no time. And I knew it was God talking to me. See, God can talk to you. Balaam's donkey could talk. So when you go to him with a question, expect him to find a way to get it to you. And if a day or two goes by and he doesn't get it to you, say, excuse me. Hello, excuse me. You remember that question I asked you? I still want to know that. And I believe you're going to answer me. And you just keep doing that. You know, the widow and the judge. Widow and the judge. Widow and the judge. Okay. No, really, he loves to answer. But I made up my mind is I will have heaven. And I will not be said no to. You can have all of heaven. It was legally given to you already. By covenant right, you already are a joint heir with Christ. That's not when you die, that's now. You're a joint heir with Christ. That means everything he had, you have. What does that mean? All of heaven, all the promises, all the stuff, yes. But we have not known how to access it. And for too long, we've sat in our tears, oh God, why don't you answer me? Oh God, why don't you hear me? He's been hearing and answering for a long time, but there's a key that's needed, or there's something we need to understand, or do, or change, or renounce. It's quite simple. I'm telling you, things will go a lot faster for you when you get this method going. And does it take a little time? Sure, it takes time to get to know somebody, anybody. But you're going to get to know him in an intimate friendship. And how do you do it? We have an old saying in this ministry. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. How do you get to know somebody? If you call somebody in another state, and you determine, well, we're gonna become better friends. if you stay in your state and they stay in their state and you don't talk on the phone pretty much every day, is you're not going to get to know them. No matter what you say about it, you're not going to get to know them. In order to get to know somebody, really know them, and for them to know you, you have to spend time in fellowship. And you have to talk about stuff and not wear your pretend mask that you wear with other people. Oh dear, did she just say that out loud? When we go before God, we just have to get really real and say, here's where I'm at. What do you think about this? You know, be real honest and spend a lot of time with him. When I went to God and said, listen, I need to hear your voice, and I'm not doing so good. How do I do it? And then once in a while I would hear his voice. I say, okay, now sometimes I hear a voice. Why not the other times? And he would teach me little keys. I would say, okay, now I get this. Now why did that happen? And he would teach me more keys. Everything on that back table was gotten by that method. Everything. And he would use the scriptures to teach me. Or he would teach me and then I'd open the scriptures and he'd confirm it. Or he would teach me using the scriptures. I'm telling you, this is for everybody. What we have, God wants all of his children to have. I was talking to a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine who's been preaching for many years, brilliant, brilliant in the scriptures, by the way. And he said, I don't get how you can just sit in that chair like when you're doing Facebook and you just preach and you don't have any notes. I just don't get how you do that. And I said, everybody can do that. Anybody in the world can do that. He said, how? How do they do that? So I told him some real simple principles. I'll tell you what I told him in case you're thinking of being a preacher. I said, you know how when somebody comes to the altar and you want to hear from the Lord for them, you want to see what the Lord is saying, or if he's saying something, or maybe you'll just pray the prayer of faith. But I said, what you're going to do, I go, when you pray for people at the altar, you just lean into the Lord and say, what are you saying, right? He goes, yeah, we do that. I go, well, it's just like that, except you do it for half an hour or 45 minutes. It's exactly the same. Exactly. You're leaning into God, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you saying? Now, will you have it immediately? No, it's a growth. It's a process, but God desires every single one of his kids to be an expert in the Spirit, right? So I didn't know we were going here, but I feel like God is saying, you know, it's okay to come and receive that as good, but there's something much more than that. And that is a lifestyle where you can do all the same stuff, only more because of your gifting and calling. Some of you are called to much greater things than I was called to. There's people in this room that are called with a powerful calling. And with callings often come strong giftings. For example, a person that's called to be an evangelist will often walk in powerful miracles. I mean creative type miracles, as it goes with that calling. Other people can operate in miracles too, but an evangelist tends to walk in great power. Okay? Other people can do it too, but an evangelist tends to have that gifting more strongly. Well, what I'm saying is there's people in this room that if you could get a hold of the walk of the Spirit that I'm talking about, you will go so far beyond, you would be able to excel in great ways, and you may have even know you're called, but you haven't known the method. And I will tell you a secret, as much as I agree with going to seminary is a good thing, getting a good Bible knowledge is really important. But they don't teach this in most seminaries that I know of. They don't teach the walk of the Spirit. In fact, in any seminary that I know of. They teach you the head stuff, which is extremely important. It is important. But if we have that without this, how will we navigate the waters? How will we know which sermon to preach when? Okay? So God is raising some of you up, and right now it might feel like I don't think that could ever happen. Trust me, it can happen. But what God is calling us to now is relationship. And if I could say it this way, oneness, one with him. Now I'll give you the scripture again. He who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So in your born again spirit, if you are born again, you are joined with him. But you haven't known how to walk in that or be aware of it or live in his world. God would like to take you on a tour of his world. He'd like to show you places in heaven. Do you understand that? No, it's not blasphemy. And no, it's not weird. And don't seek the experience. Seek him, right?
It's not about the experience. It's about him and him alone, worshiping him. But once you get that, he'll show you his world. You know, I have a friend. Anytime you go to her house, she wants to take you on a tour of the house. Well, you come to my house, you ain't getting no tour. Not getting a tour at my house. I'm married, we're not there that much. And you know, come home, change clothes, drop stuff, go to the next meeting. Yikes. But this friend always wants to take you on the tour. And you know, the Lord's a little like that. There have been times when I'm just fellowshipping with the Lord and suddenly I'm in the library. There's a library in heaven. It's my favorite room. Well, not quite. There's a library in heaven with a wall, a huge, I mean, it's huge. The ceilings are so high in this huge wall of books. There's rooms in heaven. There's a room of faith. It's amazing. There's a throne room where all the wonders of God. Now think about Isaiah. Think about Isaiah in Isaiah 6. I saw the Lord and he was high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. And immediately, I mean Isaiah, he had the coal touch his lips. He was immediately changed and equipped in the throne room. We need to have an encounter with the throne room. We need to come into the Holy of Holies. And God doesn't say no to us, kids. It's his desire. It's his desire. I'm trying to make you hungry. Actually, he's trying to make you hungry. When I saw the glory, when I was very young in my 20s, and I saw the glory of God on someone's life, they walked in the power and the presence and carried the fire, literally carried fire, that I got a sunburn when listening to them speak. My face was burnt with the fire of his glory, and I said, I know what I want. All this other stuff I thought I want, I don't care about any of it. It's all trash. I want to walk in the presence of the King. I want to know him. I want to understand the things of heaven. I want to walk in the power of the Spirit. And I said, I will pay any price to do that. I didn't even know what the walk of the Spirit was. Didn't even know what it was. But I'm telling you, because there's some people in here, I see God putting a hook in you, but it's a good kind of a hook. It's a hook that says, that is what this is all about. Not all this stuff I thought I wanted. I want him and nothing else. And I will dedicate my life to finding him in that throne room, to finding him in the place of his presence, to becoming a person that can carry the presence of God in the earth because I've been in the heavens with the King. God is looking for true disciples who say, I will pay any price if I can walk in the glory. Not have glory. We never take the glory. We didn't do anything right. And we get no glory for it, okay? We do get a reward for it. But all glory goes to him. And so he's looking for a people that say, I don't care what it costs. I just want to help somebody in your kingdom. I want to carry your presence and help people. And I want you to be pleased. I want to make your name great. And when you can get to that place and you press into that, there will be no doors closed to you in heaven. Right? Because doors open by motive. The doors of heaven open by motive. There's people who want to be seen of men and have the stamp of, they want people to see them as having power. They don't get very far in heaven. God will test your heart. Now, he won't refuse you, but he'll say, how about your heart? What about that motive there? And when you repent of it, he'll say, oop, it's like Star Trek, the door opens. You only appreciate Star Trek if you're kind of older, probably. You know. But when your heart becomes converted, see, when we're born again, not everything changes. And one of the things that I don't think always changes is our motive. You may think you have good motives. I'll tell you, one day God pulled back a curtain and showed me my heart, and I went, oh, that's wretched. I still wanted to find my value in being used of God. Uh-huh. Stank. God was very kind about it, but I said, I'm so sorry. Please convert my heart. Help me to become kingdom first. That what I'm doing for his glory and for the sake of his people. And over time, your heart begins to change. Your heart begins to change more, and you begin to develop his heart. I'm not there yet, but I've left. You know, I haven't arrived, but I left. I haven't arrived, but I left. And what I see is when you keep your heart right and your motives pure, there's no door in heaven that's closed to you.
God desires, believe it or not, God desires to make you great in the earth. It may not be in the same way. It may not be in a public way. That doesn't matter. He wants to show you who you really are and what you're really here to do. Jesus was a man on a mission. There's two things he knew. He knew a lot of things, knew everything. But there's two things he knew that we should know. One is, he knew who he was. God wants you to know who you are. And he knew what he was here to do. God wants you to know who you are and what you're here to do. Because when you know those two things, nobody can take you out. Because he knew that, and that's why Satan couldn't take him before the time. And it's why people's persecution didn't move him. He didn't care. Because he knew who he was. They could say awful things about him, and he knew, I'm the Son of God. Get over yourself, O Pharisee. Right? Because he knew who he was. And he had a mission. He said, how straitened I am until it is accomplished. And he knew his end was going to be bad. He read about himself in the scriptures. He read his story. He read Isaiah 53. He read in the Psalms. He saw it was going to be brutal. And at some point he said, okay, God. Okay, Father. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of him who sent me, I'm in. I'm going to let him kill me. I'll choose the day and the time. Because no man takes my life from me, but I'm laying it down, and I'll take it up again. But I'm accepting my assignment. What a terrible assignment to die for the sins of the whole world. We have no idea the amount of terrible things that was heaped upon his physical body, the torment that came against his mind on that cross, the sickness and disease that came upon him. Read Isaiah 53, it's an eye-opener. And study what the words mean. You'll find he bore it all. The sins of the whole world, even the people who would reject him, even the people that he knew would not say yes, even those that would blaspheme him, even those that nailed him to the tree, he died for them. He died for us. Can you imagine such an assignment? None of us could do it. Nobody but him could have done it. He wants to teach you who he is and how he did it. And he saw ahead how bad it would be. He read about it. He knew it was bad. But he said, okay, Father, for you, I will purchase a people. I will be the price. And I will let them torture me, spit on me, pull out my beard, jab 4-inch thorns into my head, drive spikes through my hands and feet, and hang me on a cross so that I die of asphyxiation. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, my Father, to purchase for you a people, to buy for you the children that you love so much, because Satan has had them in his territory. I will do this so that they have an opportunity to choose, even those who don't want to choose. I'll give them that opportunity. That's what he was doing. So we can't, the Bible says we shouldn't neglect so great a salvation, because he purchased for us all of heaven's promises. He purchased it all so that we could walk in it. And we've walked in far too low. We've walked at far too low a level, thinking, oh, I don't think I deserve, I don't think I should ask for that. Please, he's saying, won't somebody ask? Won't somebody be bold enough to say, I'll take that, okay, not because I deserve it, but because you bought it for me, and I'll take that, and I'll take that, and I'll take that, and here's a Bible promise, I'll take that. Won't somebody be bold enough to pull on heaven? And you know why? It's not really for you, it's for them. You know how I got word of knowledge? Word of knowledge is when I tell things I couldn't know, right? It's a secret about you that God wants to help you. It's never to judge you. You know, when I say something, God has given us such specific words, right? I mean, down to the knuckle, you know, the fourth toe on your right foot. I mean, he's given us real specific stuff. That's a word of knowledge. You know how I got that? Because someone helped me, a total stranger, released my healing from heaven into my body by a word of knowledge. I didn't know her. I don't know her name. I wouldn't know if I saw her today. It was many, many years ago. And when I was reading in the Bible, I saw a word of knowledge, and I said, Lord, if it's okay with you, I'd like to help people the way that lady helped me. And he gave me word of knowledge. You see, he wants his children to move in the gifts. He wants his kids, but he wants us to want it for the people. The gifts are for the people. They're not for me. They're for the people. They're to help people. They're to serve him and make his name great. See? God has so much for you, and I feel like he's calling you. It's like he's creating a vacuum, and he's hoping you'll just get sucked in. I just feel like if you're wanting to go further in God, I'm going to have you make a proclamation. Is that okay? And you don't, if this isn't you, that's okay. You don't have to say this. But if it's your heart to say, oh man, there's something in what she said and I want that. I don't even get it, but I want it. I don't even understand it, but I want it. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Today I've heard Holly talk about the walk of the Spirit.
Today I've heard Holly talk about the walk of the Spirit.
I don't know if I fully understand it. But I want to. I want you to take my life and teach me how to have that kind of relationship with you until you are my closest friend and confidant, until I am wholly committed to everything you want to do, that I walk in your grace and in your will, and that I walk in tandem with the Holy Spirit, being led by him and being taught of him. Teach me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel like there's one more thing. And Lord, if I have any motives that aren't quite right, help me get my motives converted until I'm kingdom first. In Jesus' name. Okay, hallelujah. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.